As God talks to us, and we're focusing on God setting our soul afire. And when I was studying this past week, I came upon a scripture that is so important for us to understand. That when God sets my soul afire, the first thing He does is issue a pardon for me. It's one of those, I beg your pardon, God. I beg your pardon. On our face, we are hurting. Lord, please pardon me. Well, that's what's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's what's called as the Holy Spirit touches our life. And we say, I accept Jesus. Lord, here am I. Save me. I know that Jesus is exactly who He claimed to be. I met Him personally. He's in my heart. Now, as you'll see this morning from Scripture, the world thinks every one of us are crazy. And that's what makes me feel good. Because all I have to do is look at the world and see the direction in which it is going. And I praise God for being crazy. Because for a world to say there is no God, then how can there be any hope? If there is no God, then why are we trying to do things the right way? You see, everything that we do that is focused on doing it as Christians for the glory of God, or I want to do it to help our fellow man, that desire can only come from Almighty God, a Creator. Because we are naturally, within our human nature, we are greedy. We want it only for our own family. As long as our family's bellies are full, that's fine. And you know, whatever you need, you go get it. If it's generation over here, they happen to be related to the past generations who have not really treated individuals correctly, so go destroy this generation. None of that's of God. None of that's of God. God says, I want to come into your life, but I am not going to force myself in your life. As a matter of fact, here's the way God says that He set it up. First of all, I want you to understand that it takes the all total fire of the Holy Spirit to touch an individual's life and for that individual to say, I know Jesus. And the world says, see, I told you, they're all nuts. Isn't it great to be crazy for the Lord? And I can be a fanatic for a ball team, which, as you all know, is foreign to me. But if I praise God, if Randy gets up here and shouts and praises God, they say, no, he's a little touch. Yeah, he are. He got the touch. You see, every one of us who lift the Lord first, the proof when we lift the Lord is in who is within us. Which God do you serve on planet Earth? Gosh, there's a multiplicity of gods on this world. And the world says, choose one, it's okay, as long as you don't truly believe. God says, I love you this much. And the world says, wait a minute. Where is this Christ? You all have talked about Him coming for 2,000 years. He hadn't come yet. Where is this Christ that you speak of as being so real? Why doesn't He come and save you? He has already. He is very patient with us. Has been. He said He would be. Oh, do not count my not coming as being something slow because it's nothing that you can do to keep me from coming, but I have not yet come because I am patient, looking for whosoever will to accept me. I'm extending to all creation something that another human being never has total authority over. I'm going to extend you a full pardon for all the wickedness you've ever had in your life. Full pardon. You know what the definition of being pardoned truly is? Guilty, but not having to be found that way. Guilty. You're as guilty as you can be, Larry Pete. You're guilty, guilty, guilty. But I pardon you as though, even though you're guilty, I'll take your punishment. Think of that. He says, that's how much I love you. Now, how much love do you witness throughout the world for fellow man loving their fellow man? And fellow man saying, no, you worship in the fashion you please. Used to be only in America. That's going downhill fast. You worship on any... Listen, folks, I keep saying, do you realize how hard it is to go to hell? Gosh, in Hardin County, there's a church on every corner just about. You can go to the drugstore to get your drugs on the corner. You can go to a Dollar General store and pick up your milk and go get a blessing at church. Got them just about on every corner. And don't you worry, if the church isn't on every corner, I'm sure we Southern Baptists will split several times again and we'll end up putting one there. Think of it. We're living in the greatest generation. The generation that all the prophets spoke of. That the world was looking for to come. The coming of eternal grace. Grace, the great pardon from God. And when my Son comes, you will find peace. Not from the world, but through Him. You will never find peace in this world. There's always going to be war. Folks, if Christians can't quit fighting each other, then what makes you think that non-believers are going to quit fighting each other? God says, I've come to pardon you. All you need to say is, I love you. Lord, I believe. Now, people want to make this sort of tricky. I don't know why. Because the greatest condemnation to Christianity is too simple. Well, maybe I've always been a simple-minded individual. And I praise God for keeping my mind simple. If being a great intellect means that I have to overthink God, let me be a redneck, simple Kentuckian. Please, leave me alone. But when you talk to me about your God, I will share with you my God. And I will let you know that you've never done anything so bad that God doesn't love you. You will never, ever be in a position while you're in this body, folks. This is a warning. God's favor is coming to an end, to a close. And He said it would. It's very important for us to understand. God's pardon is found in each one of us seeking, calling, forsaking, and turning. That's where you find the pardon. Now listen to Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7. Now I want you to pay close attention to Isaiah. Because anytime you'll see a writing of Isaiah, you will see Christ in that writing. You got it? You will listen to Him presenting the Christ that was coming. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Now, why would Isaiah say, seek Him while He may be found? I thought he's eternal. He is. But the time is coming when God will look down on earth and he will see in his time that nobody else will be saved. Nobody else is going to turn. Only God knows that. You and I don't. You and I have no right to condemn anybody to hell. All we are allowed to do is read his scripture. He's the final judge. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Oh, how many times over the years, folks, I've listened to people say, you know, I knew good and well that God was dealing in my heart. I knew good and well that it was the voice of God calling me to make a choice because I knew it. And yet I kept turning away. I kept refusing. And now I'd give anything to have that feeling one more time. I'd give anything to have the desire one more time. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Pardon. You see, presidents do it all the time, and it's normally to their close friends or somebody that's given a big donation. Full pardon. Nothing can be brought against them for what they had truly done. God's pardon goes much deeper. God's pardon in our life is issued to us for the purpose also of not just a full pardon of our total existence, but for our mind. Christians, you're holding on to garbage in your life that you have no right to hold on to. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, and I understand through his word that he gave his life for me on that cross, he took my punishment, he took my pain, he took my guilt, and he says, whosoever will, let him come. When I came, I have no right. No right when I've accepted Jesus to allow my mind to go back into the guilt garbage that is within us. What pulls you away from Christ's love? Guilt, guilt, guilt. Oh, I don't deserve to be a Christian. Well, shut up, you don't. You're right. You don't deserve to be, I don't deserve to be a Christian. Just so happens God loves me, and I accepted his love, and his love came to me in the name of Jesus. I'm a Christian. So therefore I know no man can condemn me to hell. They can want to send me there. I cannot keep people from saying bad things about you, can you? But I can keep them from being the truth. That's what a Christian's walk is. And our commitment to the Lord means that we must be committed to one another freely. But let me tell you something, and listen closely to this. When someone does something evil towards you, it is up to you and you alone as to whether you forgive that. If you don't, you're going to have it in your mind from now on. But here's one thing, don't you ever do. Just because a person says, I'm sorry for what I did, that person must show the actions. I forgive instantly, but trust takes a long time. How many times, folks, have you forgiven in your heart someone and then they turn around and do the same thing to you again and again and again? And you say, you know, it's getting a little old. It is. I will forgive, but trust is something that comes over time if you ever can have it again. It's amazing to how powerful evil is, the destruction of it. That's why when you and I are with our Father in heaven, we then and only then will be able to look and see why God says he hates sin. He's told us, but do we grasp it? I hate sin because it harms my children. It harms my children. And when you said yes to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. God hates sin. And he wants to pull us out of the ditch of life. But he says, I give you pardon. Won't you just believe in me? Too simple, Lord. Not for him, it wasn't. I mean, you just look at the portrayals of Christ on the cross. Even them just portraying it. Do you realize, and Easter just around the corner here, do you realize that the Scripture lets us know that they had beaten our Savior so badly, the wounds were so deep, the Scripture says that he was looked upon as not even being human. Those in combat zones, we know what that looks like. Those who've had a friend or a family member die in a traumatic situation, and you walk in a hospital and you don't even recognize them. Walk right by them. Jesus was beaten so bad for you and for me. Punished to the very depth of his human existence. At any time, he could have said, Father, pull me away. The Scripture tells us that the holy angels of God were standing by ready to deliver the Son of God, which these individuals, you and me, you want to know who killed Christ? You and me. Every human being that ever existed. The killer of Jesus Christ happens to be sin in the human race. And those who did the physical beating, even the Romans, had to turn their head. That's bad, because they were vicious. And he was as though he wasn't human. Had no beauty that men would go towards him. The cross, what went on there was so vile. Satan is cheering. Satan's excited. Now who wants to accept the Savior hanging on a tree, beat to the point that you cannot recognize he is a human, and all the people would look. Think of what your mind would say. If I say, yay, I believe in Jesus, they're going to do that to me. It doesn't matter anymore, Brother Randy. When they did it to Jesus, that's the end of it. They can take my life, but they can't even do that without Jesus giving them permission. And if he gives them permission, stand back, because I guarantee you God's name will be glorified in it. But you see, we must understand that to feel the love from that cross, it takes a heart that was so hardened to now become soft and realize, yes, all that ugliness right there, all that ugliness, that's sin. What you're seeing is not the love of God. You're seeing the punishment of God on sin through his most loved, his one and only Son. He said, let me show you a picture of what your sin looks like to me, Larry. We don't see that, do we? How many times do you ever see a cross with flesh that is just hanging there? It doesn't even look human. Gosh, even the pictures they put out of Jesus, he is a long, blonde, really? Blonde-headed. And it looks like he just had, you know, nothing out of place. You know, just a peaceful Christ. Folks, so much sin in our life, that's not peace. So I ask you, though, if God has pardoned me, because I sought for his pardon. Lord, I'm looking for the truth. You found him, Larry. Lord, I call out to you. Have mercy on me. Okay, Larry, I will do that. Do you know at any time you call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved? Anytime. I don't care whether you're out here in the woods hunting. Well, some of you deer hunters I know, and the Lord could touch you and you wouldn't leave the stand to save your life. But you don't have to. Go ahead. Ask God to come into your heart. He'll send a bigger buck by the next go-around. The Lord looks at us and says, I love you. Now here's what the world I was talking about a while ago. I want you to listen to what God says about the world. Fools mock what they don't understand. Yeah? Been around a while, you know that one, don't you? Fools mock what they don't understand. Psalm 14, verse 1. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. You don't want to know who a fool is? God says it's the individual says there is no God. So when I'm out in the world or you're doing business and you're doing business with an individual that mocks God, if I were you, I would not follow the wisdom of a fool. Only fools say there in their hearts there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. Well, you know, I give over here to this charity, and I give over here to this charity. So does the devil. So does all the evil of life they give. Where's your heart? My heart has been pardoned. The real me on the inside, I have been pardoned. And yet, I have the audacity to bring back into my mind evil. Once God says, I died for you, Larry. Remember the true picture of what I look like. Without God's Spirit, man can never discern God's will. Now you hear me? Without God's Spirit, set my soul afire, Lord, for your Spirit. Because there's no way in the world that I can discern your will for my life if I am not empowered by your Holy Spirit. God, you stood back and watched as your only begotten Son was dying for me. Lord, I know you love me. Lord, I want your will in my life. But no man could tell me what God wanted me to do. It had to be revealed to me by God Himself through His Spirit. See, preacher, you weird Christians think that a deity actually speaks to you. I got one better for him. My deity actually lives within me and I within him. I love being nuts according to the world. But you are crazy, Christian. Yes. Oh, I think Apostle Paul might have said, I'm a fool for Christ. Huh? Think of that. I'm a slave, and you call me a fool? And this is what they were doing with Paul, because he was so brilliant and such an intellect. Think of all the money you could have made, Paul. Instead, you get in shipwrecks, get stoned, and you're talking about a God that you think really talks back to you. Well, the thing was, Paul wasn't guessing. He happened to know personally. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Now, Christians, hear me on this. Do not expect a non-believer to act like you want them to act. They can't. They cannot accept the Spirit of God if they do not know Christ. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things. Now listen to this, Christian. Everybody's saying, you know, being a Christian is hard. What are you talking about, hard? I've been pardoned by God, my Creator. You and I live in great wealth compared to the rest of the world. We do, people. How many of you truly go hungry? Not many. It shows from preacher all over the place. Nobody's starving. Not only that, we have what we don't even need. That's a gift from God. But listen to the statement on verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, meaning I can judge whether or not something is right or wrong, right? We're never told not to do that. People use a judge not lest ye be judged, for by which judgment you have no idea what they're talking about. You judge between right and wrong, but you have absolutely no right to point at an individual and say, you're going to hell. You do not have that right because you don't know. But what you can do as a Christian is you can tell, is hell real? Yes. So is heaven. So why do I want to spend so much time on hell? Because Jesus spent so much time talking about hell so people wouldn't want to go there. But he himself, I'm talking about the spiritual man, he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Woo! You get it? All right, Larry Vance, you're going to hell. I remember you when? For one thing, no, you don't. I don't even know who you are. People will judge you, but God says there's nothing to that judgment. It means nothing. You are to judge the difference between right and wrong. You know the difference between right and wrong. Don't you let people play you with you should not judge. Sure you ought to judge between right and wrong. Well, should I go ahead and kill this guy? Yeah, it don't matter. But that's wrong, because that would be murder. So God looks at us and he says this, I pardon you. Not only will I pardon you, but here's what I'm going to do for you. When you say yes to me, my one and only Son, I will give you such a pardon through grace because of your faith that I will right now declare you as though you are already here in heaven with me, for I give the past, present, and future sins of your life simply because you say, yes, Lord, I accept you. Folks, don't accept a denomination. Good gracious. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Personal relationship. I happen to be a brother. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, it's about who Jesus is. And he says, okay, here's my blessing to you. I forgive you, past, present, and future, automatic. When I say yes to Jesus, that's a fact. The world hates it, hates to hear it. Some religious people hate to hear it. Oh, no. No, that's not the way it is. Well, then talk to God about rewriting it. Don't you do it. Because, you see, I don't know the traps around the curve for tomorrow. I don't know them. And not only that, let's say I know the trap around the curve. And I'm in a battle between flesh and spirit. And yet, like many Christians, we will choose to follow the wrong path. And then right after we do it, oh, Father, I can't believe I did that. Young Christians say, I'm not fit to be called a Christian. That's correct. You're not called a Christian because you're fit. You're called a Christian because Jesus is. It wasn't Joshua that fit the battle of Jericho. It was God for him. Be at peace, my friends. We worry about what man can do to us or nations will happen. You turn your heart back to God. No nation would be powerful enough to handle a nation of God. But if we stand back, Christian, you better be at the polls and you better be voting. And you better look at your heart as to how you do it. For a whole nation can continue to collapse. And the Christian sitting in the pew, I didn't know, and I just didn't want to shake the boat. Well, if you don't stand up and let it shake a little, it's going to sink. We cannot do that to our children, our grandchildren. Wake up, America. Wake up, Christian. Revival set my soul afire. If the church does not get active once again in the welfare of the human race, who will? Who will? Toughen up for Jesus. Gosh, I love you all so much. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name for your word and for your truth. Father, we give you thanks for the pain that we have in our heart, for a world that is lost. Praise your name, Heavenly Father, for the hurt we continue to feel. For Father, as long as the pain is there and the hurt is there, we know, Father, that you are there. Help us now, Father, to be about your business, about your love and about your truth. Remind us there is no God but you. Strengthen us to strengthen one another and to glorify the name of Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.